Nachos, Perek Yud, Mishnah Dalet 10:4. Now, we're going to go on to the making of the Korban Omer itself from the barley that was harvested in the previous Mishnah. Now, the Pasuk says that the barley should have some specific things. It should be aviv, which essentially means like freshly ripened, kalui, which means like toasted, be'esh, on a fire, geres, which is essentially coarsely ground up, and karmel, which means either it means like rach and mal, that the barley grains are still like sort of soft and sort of smushy, or whether it means like kar male, like a fat pillow, again, that it's plump inside the grain of barley. Those two pshatim are both in Gemara. Rashi brings one and Unkelus brings the other, in fact. In any case, so the question is with the kalui esh, toasted on the fire, what is that technically mean? So Rabbi Meir, the first opinion of our Mishnah, holds that means that the grains have to be like fire roasted, like open in an open fire, kind of like roasting marshmallows over an open fire. You're going to roast the barley over the open fire. And that being the case, you're going to need to sort of have something to hold on to it because it can't be inside a kli. So you'll have it still inside of its stalk, right? The stalk with the ear of corn, and ear of barley, I should say, and you're going to hold that over the fire. Okay, the chacham and the lacha is that kalui esh means that it's roasted. Kalui ba'esh is roasted like inside a container. It will be called an abuv, some kind of copper, you know, pipe or saucepan with holes in the bottom. The point is, you're going to put the kernels of grain inside this toaster, this roasting thing, and it's inside the kli. And therefore, you'll have to remove the kernels first to get it inside the kli. So because there's a different picture of what kalui looks like, therefore, we'll have two kinds of approaches on the steps of what happens next. So it says the Mishnah inside, katsuruhu, they reaped it, they cut it from the ground, v'nasnu b'kupos, they put it, these three guys put it into their three baskets, hevi'u la'azara, and they brought it directly to the azara, the temple courtyard, hayu mahav havin oso ba'ur. According to this, the first opinion, Reb Meir, he wants the fire to be acting on the grains directly without an interceding intermediary kli. And therefore, he'll take those stalks of barley and kind of toast them over the fire. Kadei l'kayim bo mitzvahs kali, to fulfill the obligation, the mitzvah, to have it be kali, toasted. That's Divrei Reb Meir. V'chacham Rom, they say no. They say, since we're going to have it inside of a kli, first, bekanim of a klichos chov tonoso. First, we have to thresh. We have to remove the kernels from the stalks, from their ears. Now, we can't thresh it too vigorously, like with a stick, as one would normally do it, because there's it's still soft. Remember, since these are still, you know, caramel, they're soft and they're fresh. If you bang them too hard, they'll get smushed. If they get smushed, you're gonna have a hard time essentially separating the flour from the bran, which we're gonna have solace. Therefore, we use something that's not so hard. We use something soft, like kanim, which are reeds, or klichos. Klichos essentially are like the stalks of cabbages. They're a little, I'll call it rubbery, right? They're not so like hard as a stick. So when you bang the barley, it'll knock out the kernels without smushing and smashing the kernels. So that's what it says here. Bekanim of a klichos chovtin also. Chovtin chavata means like to bang. Like, you know, when you do chavata of your, on the, what do you call it, on Shmo, and Hoshana Rabbah. You know, you take your hashanos and you do chabata on the floor. You bang on the floor. Kadei shelo yis ma'ech. We use these softer things rather than a hard stick. So it shouldn't, yis ma'ech, it shouldn't become smushed, the kernels of barley. Then, nasnuhu la'avuv. They put these now, the individual kernels of barley, la'avuv, into this copper roaster thing called the avuv. Va'avuv haya manukav. The avuv had holes in the bottoms. Kadei sheheha or sholat bakulo, so that the fire could get in and roast everything. Want to toast all of the barley kernels inside the abuv, so therefore it has holes in the bottom, so it can toast well inside. And then, after you've toasted them, so then shatahuhu ba'azara, they would then spread out the freshly toasted barley, like on the floor in the temple courtyard, v'ruach minashevaspo, and the wind will blow on it. The idea is like this. You know, if you have freshly baked bread, okay, so since there's still like moisture inside the dough, you know what happens? The bread is still steaming. If you take that bread and you kind of put it in a plastic bag and you bring it home, when you unwrap your challah that you bought from the plastic bag that you just brought fresh from the bakery, it's all nasty, right? Because the steam comes out, like sort of sweats and becomes soggy. We don't want that. We want it to dry out. Therefore, the same way you kind of use a paper bag, you leave it open for the air to get in there. So too, you've toasted this like quite moist barley. There's steam coming off it. If you don't let it air out, it will get kind of, I don't know, called soggy. And therefore, you spread it out to air out. The wind should blow on it so that the steam should be blown away and it shouldn't get like, you know, sweaty, so to speak, and moist. Yes, yeah, so it dries up properly. After you've done that, nasnuhu berechaim shel grosos, they put the barley corns, like the little kernels of barley, into a bean mill, something for grinding beans. The idea here is normally you grind grain, like, you know, like wheat, you use quite a strong mill to make it into a fine powder. But you don't want to do that here. Here it's going to be, as the pasuk specified, it should be geres, like kind of coarse the ground, kind of like, you know, if you do like, say, French press coffee and you want to, you know, or pour over, you don't want it to be too fine because you want the little bits of coffee to get through the holes of your French press. Kind of similarly, if you grind it too finely, you're going to have all the tiny bits of the bran, you know, like mixed in with the flour, and you won't be able to have the solas that you want. Therefore, we grind it like coarsely so that it's easy to separate the bran, the fiber from the flour. Okay, so that's it. You put it in the less intense grinder of a rechaim shel grosos, the mill for beans. V'hotziu mimenu isaron shehu menupa mishalosh shesre nafa. We're going to extract now, after you grind it up, we're going to now sift it with 13 different sifters, like I described before. Each, the holes in the sifters get ever smaller until the last one is, you know, tiny, and what falls at the bottom there is just like dust. But what's retained in the 13th sifter, that's your solas, that's your fine flour that you want to use. And the rest is like I'll call the whole wheat that has the bran mix in. That stuff we're not going to use for the Minchas Omer at all. B'shar, what do you do with that? Nifte, you redeem it, meaning when it was purchased, you know, this is a korban sibor, it's a communal offering. So what happens is the gizbar, the temple treasurer, let's call him, he's going to go out to the field where the farmer is and say, listen, I want to buy, you know, these three eifah of barley. So he's going to pay for the eifah of barley, you know, whatever, money. So it all becomes now invested with Kedushas Damim. Now, afterwards, you know, there's leftover flour you're not going to use. So what do they do with that? It still has Kedushas Damim, it has sort of extrinsic Kedusha of the money, but that can be redeemed with coins. So the point is, the whole wheat flour that's not going to be used for the Omer, the Minchas Omer, the offering, that will essentially be deconsecrated through pidyon, right? Nifteh. Someone will buy it and they'll give, you know, 10 shekel coin for it. The kedusha then comes off, that's pidyon, off of the whole wheat flour that's not being used onto the coin. And now it's deconsecrated, it's chulin, whole wheat flour. And that stuff, v'necha l'chol adam, anyone could eat it. As opposed to the omer, of course, the minchas omer, should be eaten just by, ultimately by kohanim in the azara, because it'll be kache kache. Right? So that's the idea here. It's pidyon, good old-fashioned pidyon, deconsecration onto the coin. And then it's eaten by whoever wants. V'chayv b'challah, the one who purchases this whole wheat now and makes his, you know, barley bread, from the dough, he'll have to separate challah. Remember, when you mix flour and water together, the obligation of challah kicks in. Mokok is exactly one, but it kicks in there from your batch of dough, and you separate, you know, a portion to give to the kohen. Now, since the chiv only kicks in when you make the dough, so even though this had for a time been hektish, been consecrated flour, but since the obligation of giving challah kicks in only when you make it to dough, when the water mixes with the flour, and this is only happening once it was deconsecrated, so now you have to give challah, a gift to the kohen, from your dough. In contrast, upatim and amaisras, there's no obligation to separate trumas amaisras, the tithes, the kohanim, and the levim, from this flour, because you'll recall that the obligation to give maisras kicks in from what's called gemar malacha, from the finishing of the harvesting of it, what's often referred to as meruach hakri, the smoothing of the pile of the kernels of grain, but before you grind them up. So we're way past that, right? We've already ground them up and sifted them. So therefore, the deadline, so to speak, the cutoff point, which defines now or never, it's obligated or not in Trumas Amaisras, has passed. So even though it's, and there's no obligation to give Trumas Amaisras on Hektish, on Baked and Milish property, so therefore, even if it's been deconsecrated now, it's still exempt from Trumas Amaisras evermore. That's what the Mishnah says here, Patur Min Amaisras. Now Rabbi Akiva's going to disagree on that point. He's going to say, listen, when the Gizbar purchased the wheat originally, he didn't have this in mind. So that part that was not going to be used essentially was not invested with Kedusha, and therefore, when it was sifted, etc., when it was ground up and so on, the non-used part ultimately was still obliged from his maestros by a private person who buys it, and therefore he holds, Rabbi Akiva holds, Machayev Bechala, of course, it's obligated in Nechala, but also Uva Maestras, the Trumas of Maestras as well. Halacha does not follow Rabbi Akiva. Balu Leisaron, so once they've achieved getting back to the flour that we're going to be using for the korban here, the mincha, we get our isaron, a tenth of an eva, right? 43.2 eggs, the usual amount that we have in every mincha typically. So the same idea, it's the same recipe as typically every mincha. You have an isaron of flour, you're going to have a lug of olive oil, you're going to mix them in a klisharis. The olive oil is applied in three stages. First, the seen in the bottom, you put in the bottom of the klisharis, then you put the barley flour on top of that. Everything that's inside the kli has got kedushas haguf. Then you're going to put a second application of oil that's in your bolel. Like you mix it all up together. That's a blila. And then when you finish making your mixture of oily flour mixture, then you put the last of the oil, that's yitzika, on top. And then you have your lavona that goes on top of that. And the whole thing is going to be, as the Mishnah will say in a second, it's waved. There's an obligation of tenufa, kind of like a lulav in all six directions of the Minchas Omer, that's the Pasuk says. Then you do Hagasha, like every Mincha, meaning you take the bowl with the Mincha inside of it, and prior to the Kamitza, prior to taking that portion of the Kometz, you touch it to the southwest corner, clink, L'chaim, to the corner of the southwest corner of the base, of the Mizbeach, the altar. And then you'll do Kamitza, taking off the Kometz. The Kometz goes in the fire, along with the Lavona, and the rest of it is left behind to be eaten by Kohanim. That's what the Mishnah says inside here. It says, Bolu le'isaron, you arrive now at your isaron of barley flour. V'nasan shemano ulvonoso, you mix it up with its oil and its lavona, its frankincense. Yatzak uvalal, you do the yitzik as you should, that's the third application. And the balal, the blil, that's the second application. Heinif, you wave it as the pasuk requires in the six directions. V'higish, you bring it to the southwest corner of the mizbech, again, clinking it. And then v'kamatz, you take the komatz amount out of it. V'hiktir, you burn that komatz on the mizbeach along with the lavona. V'sha'ar, and the remainder, which is left in the klisharis, left the remainer of that paste, it's basically a paste of flour and oil that wasn't burned. Nechal l'kohanim, the kohanim eat it. Again, the kohanim, it's kachay kachim. So kohanim can eat it, you know, making whatever crackers they want to make, or, you know, bread, whatever. But it must be eaten that day and the night that follows, as kachikachim, and must be eaten by the male kohanim only, and inside the azar, the temple courtyard.